Hello, you're listening to the Witness History Podcast on the BBC World Service with me, Claire Bowes. It's more than half a century since the first battle to save the Great Barrier Reef from destruction. The coral reef had long been known for its beauty, colour and biodiversity. But in the late 1960s, the Queensland government in Australia was looking at applications to mine the reef and to drill for oil. I've been speaking to conservationist and campaigner Eddie Hegel.
Well, the man who wanted to mine it for limestone actually claimed it was a dead reef. And that was strange because as marine biologists, we didn't know we had any dead reefs on the Great Barrier Reef.
Eddie Hegel is a marine biologist who's spent more than half a century diving the Great Barrier Reef. I spoke to him on the beach as he looked out at the Coral Sea, the home of the reef, off the North Queensland coast.
The whole Barrier Reef system, at least at the time, was absolutely marvellous, and it never was a dull day where you thought, oh, well, I'm just going on the Barrier Reef. It was always a very special experience and a privilege.
To him, the description of a dead reef sounded extremely unlikely. The famous British naturalist David Attenborough filmed at the reef and later described it as the most magical thing he has ever seen. Here he is in 1972.
Down there, below the surface of the water, surely one of the most glorious and colourful sights in the whole of the natural world, a living coral reef.
Reefs are made up of millions of tiny animals called coral polyps. They create a hard skeleton for themselves made out of limestone, only extending their tentacles out at night to feed. As they die, other polyps build on top of them and over thousands of years form a reef.
The sheer number, richness and variety is astonishing. Every nook and cranny used by some creature in some beautifully adapted way.
It's the biggest single structure in the world created by a living organism. So big it can be seen from space. But at the time, there was no legal protection for it. Instead, its fate lay in the hands of the Queensland government. And Eddie Hegel says it felt like they really didn't understand.
To the Queensland government of the day's attitude was that the reef was a nice pile of limestone that could be carted away to Southeast Asia and made into cement, which a lot of the people who lived along that coastline found a very offensive sort of philosophy.
One of those locals, an artist called John Boost, asked Australia's leading marine scientists to review the reef. But they said no.
All of the leading scientists at the time, who had very small research grants, were concerned that they might lose them if they did something the government didn't like.
So local university students Eddie Hegel and his friends agreed to do the survey for John Boost. They spent 5 days diving the reef.
And found it to be a perfectly normal reef, 246 species of fish, around 100 corals and slightly fewer mollusks. But that's a pretty good sample and pretty typical of what we would have expected to find on any reef out there in that limited amount of time.
They presented their evidence to a special court set up to decide mining applications. The reef, they said, was very much alive. The court was persuaded and advised the Queensland government to turn down the mining application. But the Queensland Premier, Jo Bjelke Petersen, stalled.
Jo Bjelke Petersen believed that merely creating jobs made him popular. He thought that mining lots of reefs on the Barrier Reef would create lots of employment.
With Australia's senior scientists remaining silent, it was up to the artist John Boost to lead the campaign with the mantra, you can have mining or you can have the reef, you cannot have both. Eddie Hegel took the campaign on the road and plenty wanted to hear what he had to say.
Every imaginable sort of community organisation asked us to come along and speak to them, fishing clubs, diving clubs. It was 7 days and seven nights a week virtually. We just had to turn our lives over to trying to ensure the Barrier Reef had a future.
After 7 months, the Queensland government ruled there would be no mining on Ellison Reef. But that was not the end.
The really big shock came on the 24th of December 1968.
While most people were preparing for Christmas, Eddie Heger was scrolling through government notices in the back of a local newspaper. The Queensland government had plans to allow exploration for oil.
There was a notice that the Queensland government was going to give out oil prospecting authorities to the entire Great Barrier Reef region. One little bit would have been unacceptable because oil spills could travel hundreds of kilometres. But the thought of having an oil industry throughout the reef region potentially was just appalling. Yeah, I thought this was going to be a lot harder fight because it wasn't just one potentially small company. This was the world's oil industry wanting to get a toehold, and that was a very frightening prospect.
Eddie says he, his wife and the other young campaigners had no choice but to take on the oil industry.
We were the guys that had to do it. I mean, there wasn't any noticeably others to come in who had comparable experience. So we were kind of like, okay, we've got to do this until we either die of old age or succeed. We'll get murdered.
You said in a slightly flippant sort of way, or get murdered, but seriously, what kind of position were you putting yourselves in?
Well, there were times of insecurity and certainly nasty things were said. I guess a lot of people might have made money out of it that didn't as a result of our efforts, but we had a lot of support, and I think if anything had happened to us, the level of public indignation would have ensured that the reef was still safe.
That sounds to me like you thought maybe you were in danger, but you also thought it was worth it if it would save the reef.
Yeah, I'd say that would be exactly our viewpoint.
No one did come to harm, but there are reports of phones being bugged and houses raided. As the issue gained international attention, Eddie Heger says politicians were beginning to worry about the impact on tourism. But it was when he addressed the union leaders representing miners and oil workers that things took a dramatic turn.
And I gave a plea to ask them to do a black ban and not allow any oil drilling anywhere in the Great Barrier Reef region. And they voted unanimously, every person there, that they would not provide labour to allow any oil drilling or mining to go ahead.
And these were just working men. They saw natural resources in a different way, perhaps, than you did, but they were convinced.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. I mean, these were men who would have made money, it might have been years of work for them, if oil drilling and mining had gone ahead. But they didn't want to spoil what many of them, because they'd been to the Barrier Reef, knew what was at risk, but also because their kids would want to go there and they wanted it to be there.
That must have really moved you.
It did. It did. It was one of the happiest days in the class of monumental, I think.
The big moment came in 1975, when responsibility for waters and natural resources was transferred to Australia's national government. It made the Great Barrier Reef a marine park, providing care and protection for the reef. Eddie Heger continues to campaign to protect the reef, most recently highlighting the dangers posed by climate change. He was speaking to me, Claire Bowes, for Witness History. And that's it for this edition, but you can see Eddie in a short film on the Witness History website. Just go to the site and click on Films.